Good morning. It's good to have our visitors with us and those that are coming to Purdue or Ivy Tech for the fall, coming as freshmen. We're glad to have you with us and look forward to the weeks ahead as more start to trickle in over the next few days and next weekends. As Gerald mentioned, a good number of us are working through the Psalms in terms of our daily reading and devotion, reading through the Psalms, praying through the Psalms. And over the last couple weeks, picked a few select psalms to go through to just draw out lessons that are trying to help us depend on God more completely and seek Him more diligently and just simply learn to pray and be people of prayer and grow in that. A couple weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 13, which is this desperate cry of David for help in the midst of trouble. Last week, we looked at Psalm 11, which is this bold declaration of faith in the midst of trouble. And what I want to do this morning is sort of switch scenes from scenes of trouble to scenes of praise. And so if you would open up Psalm 29, the psalm that Gordon just read for us, I want to reread that with you and spend some time walking through this psalm and drawing some things out of this. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calf, or some of your translations will say twists the oaks, and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everything says glory. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. So this psalm opens up with a call to worship, calling the heavenly assembly to acknowledge and worship the Lord in His holy, royal splendor. Listen again to the first two verses. Ascribe to the Lord, heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and honor. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The picture that's being painted for us in this psalm is of the throne room of God. And we might call to mind maybe passages that are more familiar to us. Isaiah 6, Revelation 4 and 5, where you see the throne room. This is the same kind of thing that's going on. Here the heavenly beings in His royal court are called to praise Him and worship Him, ascribing to Him glory and strength, ascribing to Him the glory that He is due. And so this is the picture, this call to worship. And then so from here, call to worship turns to this powerful description of the Lord's power and majesty, specifically the power and majesty of His voice as king. And as we reread verses 3 through 9, be sure to appreciate the poetic imagery that's going on here. The Lord's voice is pictured as this great thunderstorm that's moving. And I didn't put a map up today, but the picture is it's moving from the Mediterranean Sea throughout the regions of Palestine, moving towards the temple in Jerusalem. But it's what you see this thunderstorm doing is leaving this trail of destruction in its wake. That's the picture that's being painted for us here. Again, listen to verses 3 through 9. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is over many waters. And again, that imagery would remind Jews of the Great Sea, or as we call it today, the Mediterranean Sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. If this were America, we'd talk about the giant sequoias or something like that. The cedars of Lebanon were these just trees of renown for their size and their splendor. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. These mountain ranges in the northern edge of Israel. He shakes the wilderness, Kadesh. I skipped a couple of verses. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Yes, he shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And everything in his temple cries, glory. These verses paint this incredible, awe-inspiring picture of the power of the Lord and the power of his voice. And I'm sure you noticed that phrase, the voice of the Lord, repeated seven times in this text. And here God's voice is heard not in words as we think of him speaking, but his voice is heard in thunder. And the power and the majesty of God's thundering voice, we see that witnessed as this storm moves from the sea across the landscape. Again, in his wake, think about the things that are being described here. These great cedar trees are just pulverized. Mountains are moved. The ground shakes. The forest stripped bare. All in response to the thundering voice that echoes from him. The effects of this storm are devastating. Again, this is the power and the majesty of God's voice. God speaks and his enemies fall. That's the picture that's being described here. And so rightly from his throne room erupts this loud acclamation as everyone, everything in his temple cries out glory. Just blown away by what they're seeing and hearing from God. Glory. And with this shout, notice what's happening here, right? The call to worship, the call to ascribe to the Lord glory and strength due his name that you see in the opening lines is happening, right? This is the call to worship, and then you see his power described, and then the beings in his courtroom, as they're seeing this, they fulfill that call. Glory. Shout glory. And then look at verse 10. Again, having witnessed the incredible power of the Lord's voice, we step back to see the Lord himself. Where is he? Reigning as king, secure in his rule. The Lord set at the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. You think about the picture that's described there at the beginning of verse 10. What's that taking our minds back to? The Lord set at the flood. The flood of Noah, right? There he demonstrated his royal power and authority to bring about judgment against the evil rebellion at the flood. Just as we can appreciate the power of God in that event, so we see his power remains. Once again, God has proven his rule secure. You might recall what we looked at last week in Psalm 11, and you think about the people in that psalm that were pressuring David to flee from his trouble rather than turning and trust in the Lord. You remember in verse 4 his answer to their faithless advice? He said, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven." Again, his answer to the faithlessness was, let's see God reigning and ruling. Again, today in Psalm 29, we see again, the Lord is in his temple, reigning, ruling, sitting on his throne. And look again at the end of verse 10. Well, both lines actually. What's his posture? What's his posture as king on his throne? He's sitting. He sits as king. All the devastation that's described in verses 3 through 9 is the result of the command of his voice issued while he stays seated on his throne. Could you imagine if God actually got up to fight? This is him sitting on his throne, unfazed by the enemies that abound. He just issues commands, and this is the result. Do you have a clear picture in your mind of God's power? In other passages paint pictures of God's power and glory in different ways. But as we just walk through the end of this psalm, do you have a clear picture in your mind of God's power? Something that's just the boom of his voice pulverizes trees and makes mountains move. And you have that picture in your mind? Now look at verse 11. The final two lines of this psalm. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Do you see what he's saying? And do you see the connection here? the power of the Lord that's being displayed throughout this psalm, the power of the Lord that can pulverize cedar trees and can move mountains and can make the earth quake, again, not from an earthquake, but just from the booming, thundering voice that can strip the forest bare, that same power is employed to give you strength and bless you with peace. Do you appreciate that? That connection? Enemies run away from the power of God in terror. Image in Revelation 6 where they're just crying out to the mountains. Enemies of God are crying out to the mountains, fall on us, cover us. They would rather a mountain fall on top of them than meet God in His power, meet God in His wrath. Enemies run away from the power of God in terror. God's people glory in His power. We see His power, and it's a cause to celebrate. It's a cause to worship. It's a cause to rejoice. The powerful rule of God means devastation for His enemies and strength and peace for His people. I want to think about this idea of power for a minute. Do you feel powerful? Do you feel strong? We're meant to recognize the incredible power that we have at our disposal. Paul will actually make this same point in Ephesians 1. I want to read a little bit of Ephesians 1. You can turn there, or you can just listen if you want. But Ephesians 1, I'm going to pick up in verse 15. Paul, after he's just spent a good amount praising God for all the rich blessings we have in Jesus, or at least a good number of the rich blessings we have in Jesus. He says this in verse 15. This reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which is among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And this is what he prays for them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So in other words, he's praying that they would have this keen knowledge of what God's done for them. And then he lists out some of these blessings that he wants them to really get and appreciate. This is what he says, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Paul prays that we would know the surpassing greatness of His power that is toward us who believe. And then he goes on to describe the surpassing greatness of that power. Listen to the rest of verse 19 through the end of this chapter. This is in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Again, we're meant to recognize and know deep within ourselves the incredible power we have from God. The power that raised Christ from the dead and raised Him to rule at His right hand is the same power that's at work for us. Take that in for just a second. The same power that's at work to bring Jesus from the dead, raise Him up to rule at God's right hand in heaven, is the same power that is working for us to succeed. Or as this psalm says, the power that can pulverize trees, move mountains, shake the ground, strip the forest bare, is the same power that is at work for us to give us strength and bless us with peace. So ask again, do you feel powerful? Do you feel strong? God wants to strengthen us through trials. God wants to strengthen us against temptation. God wants to strengthen us to live out our calling and accomplish His work. God wants us to succeed. God wants to bless us. And God uses His incredible power to give us the strength we need to keep going, to bless us beyond our measure. Stop relying on our own power and start relying on God's power. Do you catch yourself doing that sometimes? Relying on your own power, your own abilities, your own strength rather than God's strength? We need to see this too. There's times we just feel beaten down by Satan, just attacked, beaten down, and the temptation is to give in and give up. But you got to remember, he's the weak one. He's the loser of the story. It's God's power that is working for us and in us to accomplish the work that he's called us to do. And so let's stick with God. Let's rely on his power. And I also want to think about praise for just a minute. And this, I think Steve and I are on the same wavelength with some of your comments about praise this morning. As you just step back and think about a psalm like this that just concentrates on praising the Lord, picking out some aspect of who he is, what he's done. This psalm particularly focused on his glory and his strength or his power. I realize I'm not as good at praise in my personal devotion. When I just look at my life and think about my seeking of God, I realize praise is an area that I fall far short. I don't think I struggle as much with supplication. When I'm in trouble or hurting or needing, it's pretty easy to go to God and ask for help. Even Thanksgiving has become a more natural and normal part of my prayer life. But praise is different, because praise is all about God. Again, psalms like this help me realize that I just don't take enough time to stop and think about him and praise him for and what he's done, right? It's not a matter of having words in my vocabulary to pray. You know, I can pray a prayer and there'll be some praise in it, but I'm talking about really praising God and stopping what you're doing, again, to think on him and see him and meditate on him and respond by just what we're seeing in this psalm. Ascribe to him glory and strength and power and majesty, and just dwell on some aspects of God. There's so much to praise God for. Again, this psalm focused on his power. I think about what Paul focused on at the end of Romans 11 as he concludes this great body of work that walks through in great detail the amazing ways God has blessed us in Jesus with salvation and forgiveness. And it's just this praise of the incredible wisdom of God. So his power, his wisdom, his beauty, his goodness, his steadfast love. We've talked about that idea in our psalm study the last couple times. This idea of loving kindness, as it's translated for some of you, or steadfast love, talking about God's covenant faithfulness. He loves us and will never let us down. His glory, his righteous judgment. I mean, God is a perfectly righteous judge. It's always going to turn out right as he's in control. His amazing grace, his work in creation, his work to sustain life, his work to save, and again, just so many other facets of who he is, what he's done, and his work throughout time and in eternity. So what is this? Why is praise the harder one? And again, I realize that's sort of from my perspective. For some of you, it may be praise is the easy one and supplication is the hard one. But at least from why, from Steve. So at least he and I are in this, right? Saying we struggle with praise. What is that? I'll tell you what I've thought about as I just kind of work through this in my own life. One of the things I notice about supplication and thanksgiving, they still revolve around me quite a bit, right? Asking God to help me, or even thanking God for blessing me. But praise is really all about God. Praise is acknowledging, celebrating, and honoring God for God. Just who he is, what he's done. And obviously that has profound intersection in my life and impacts me greatly. Even in this psalm, right, the closing line points to the fact that power and glory and strength is given to his people. So again, even in pure praise, you're not going to get far away from the impact that God has had on our lives and the way he blesses us by being him. But praise is all about God. And so I think my failure to praise comes from a deeper failure to love God for God. And what I really need to do is if I could cultivate a purer love for God, I think I would praise him more. If my heart was more pure in my devotion and love for him, I would praise him more. At the same time, I think if I was more diligent and disciplined and deliberate, we'll use a few more D words in there, right? To praise him, to just reflect on him, and spend that time thinking about who he is and what he's done and praising him, I think I'd love him more, right? And so they really enhance one another and work together. And so let's praise God. Let's be people who love him and praise him because he is worthy. And that's the story of the Bible, that God is worthy of all our praise. And so let's grow to rely on him more. That's one of the things we've been working on in this psalm series, this brief psalm series, is really depending on him, really seeking him. So let's grow to rely more on God, power, as this psalm points out. Let's grow to praise God more for his power and for all things. And maybe what you do this week is, in the next couple of days, just find some time to get alone with God and go through this process. Pick an aspect of who he is or what he's done and just chew on that and then ascribe that to him in praise, wanting to worship him for that. But let's grow to love God with pure heart of devotion. Let's pray through this psalm together if we could. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to him the glory that is due his name. Worship him in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Our God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks cedars, breaks strong, great trees in two. He makes mountain ranges skip like calves and like wild oxen. The voice of the Lord draws out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the deserts. The voice of the Lord twists oaks and strips forests bare. And truly, everything in his temple, in his dwelling place, in his throne room, cries out glory. The Lord sat as king at the flood, and he sits as king forever, reigning in heaven, unaffected, unthreatened by rebellion below. And in his power and his glory and his strength, he gives us strength and blesses us with peace. Father, we're in awe of you and humbled as we reflect on your power and your majesty as you reign as King of the universe. That you would love us and work for us in such incredible ways. Help all of us here to realize your power and rely on you and trust in you and always turn to you for refuge and for direction and strength, not trusting in ourselves, trying to make our own way, but always seeking to live in your will. To obey you without fear. full of faith and trust. And may everything in our life cry glory to you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you would go ahead and take out your songbooks, 464 is the song we'll sing. I'll just say before we close, if you'd like prayers, whether you're struggling with sin or some trial in your life and you just like prayers and encouragement and support, we want to help you in that. If you're ready to put on Christ and be buried with Him in baptism and raised to live a new life, we want to help you in that as well. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.